Well, it's great to be back physically present. I'm sure you're all thankful of that. The last time I came, I think I showed a video. And what I really want to do tonight is to show you how what plans and vision we had 3 years ago, how God has said, wait a minute, I want you to go this way. So, but really I wanted to start off with them just reading a verse, because you're one of the three main supporting churches that I send prayer letters to and come and visit when I'm on home assignment. And I really appreciate the fact you're a church that are active in supporting missionaries through prayer. Yes, I'm the one that's been sent out, but I do need support. And the way that you support me, not just through finances, but prayer and concern. So I just really want to thank you for the way you show your love for the Lord in committing time to prayer, because that's where a lot of the battles are won. So I just want to encourage you to keep on praying. It's very hard, I know, when you don't see the physical results, but you know, God knows our hearts, and he will share with you what he wants you to pray for. And we can only say that, you know, the glory goes to him for what he's doing in and through his church, both here in Lapworth and where we are in Spain. So I just wanted to share with you a verse from Philippians. Paul is in prison and he's writing to the people, and he just says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. And for me, that is true, your partnership in the gospel from the first day, because it was here when Gerald was named pastor of the church. That's where I met David Clark. My intention was to go with OM, and I got sent to Spain, and it was there on the mission field that I met Francis Arjona, the pastor of the church, and where God really laid the burden on me to serve him in what is known as the Pedroches Valley. So you were there from the beginning, so thank you for, you know, your partnership in the gospel, because as missionaries we do need partners. So so Spain, so Andalusia, the autonomous region. Okay, there we go. So that's Andalusia, broken up into provinces. So everybody knows about Malaga, yes? Maybe some of you have heard of Granada. But Jaén, it's where most of the olives come from. It's a big olive-producing area. And we're in Córdoba, the province of Córdoba. So, and then what is the northern part of the province? The Pedroches Valley. So there's the main road that goes all the way through the valley. And when we began, the idea was to plant a church in Pozo Blanco, because that's the capital of the valley. So strategically, that was going to be the best place to plant. And the idea was to then plant a church in Villanueva de Córdoba. So it's Córdoba New Town, basically. And then on the other side of the valley, in Hinojosa. So somebody there would cover those villages. We would cover the central villages, and then a church here would cover this side of the valley. Those were our plans. So I think last time I was with you, I said we joined an M4 church planting initiative, which is to enable lay people to get involved in church planting. And apart from this guy here in the middle, this was the team. So Jesus, yeah, lots of people in Spain are called Jesus. He was the man who was heading up the team, really. And then Letty, she was another ECM missionary from Guatemala, and myself. And we started to have regular Bible studies in the home of a Romanian family. So she's not in the picture. There she is, yes. Her and her husband. So they allowed us to go into their home. And her sister and her brother-in-law also came, two gypsy ladies and a lady from Honduras, who'd moved into the Nicaragua, who'd moved into the village to look after an elderly lady. So every Tuesday we'd have a Bible study, encourage them to reach out to people. We had a few outreach activities and thought, oh, this is great, Lord. You know, we'd been praying for VMware for many, many a year. And what happened was Jesus is an ex-drug addict in lockdown. He had a relapse and he's just really just starting to come back to the Lord. Letty decided she was moving to Burgos to work with a church planned, established church in Burgos. And so there was just myself. So then the Romanian family that had the house, she moved back to Romania to look after elderly parents. This couple live in a different village, so during lockdown they didn't want to come to Villanueva. And the lady from Nicaragua went back to Nicaragua. So in this picture, the only people left are Paulina, she's a lady from a church in Puerto Blanco, myself, Mariana and Paki. Now these are two gypsy girls that from the first time I set foot in Puerto Blanco, we were visiting them and we're having Bible studies in their homes, and then they just finished. You know, you've been sowing seeds. They made a profession of faith, but no advancement from then. And then just before lockdown, they came to the church. She'd had cancer. She'd got lots of allergies and that, and the mother had died. We had been involved when the mother died just before, but no real sign of any fruit. And I must admit, when they started coming back in contact, I said to Francie, I don't think I can, you know, move forward with these or think about planting a church with these two. I said, because, you know, we spent so much time with them and they have got a lot of baggage. He said, I think the Lord's doing something new. And really, although this has folded in one sense, they've gone on and they've been baptised and are now integrated into the mother church in Puerto Blanco. So, I mean, God's done a marvellous thing. All that, our plans was to plant a church and, you know, reach out into Villanueva. But God's done something special in the lives of Mariana and Paki. So if you can pray for them. Mariana, her mother died, so she's really taken over the role of mother in the house. They work on the market, selling clothes on the market. And Paki is her younger sister, and she's a single mom. And she also has a market stall, and she has less time to be present in our meeting, so really needs to be encouraged in her growth with the Lord. But Mariana, she's there at the prayer meeting on a Wednesday morning. She connects sometimes on a Thursday. She's there at the ladies' meeting on a Tuesday. And on a Sunday, she's the first one to connect on Zoom. Most of our meetings are hybrid, so we have Zoom and people being present. So if you could remember to pray for them, I'm responsible for their discipleship. So that was our plans, but God's plans were different. So let me go back to the map. So here, this is the end of Cordoba, and this is Castilla de la Mancha. It's another autonomous region. And just over the top, just over the border, there's a village called Almaden. It's an old mercury mining village. And just before COVID, we did an outreach in Almaden. This actually is Almaden, with the Billy Graham Foundation, and didn't seem to be any fruit. Okay. And all of a sudden, this couple start coming to church. Angel and Maria. They'd had contacts with Christians in the past. He'd, when he was younger, had been to seminary to become a priest, but and was nowhere at the moment. Her son has problems with drug addiction, and they started coming to church. And then on Easter Sunday, I think it was 2020, because we were in lockdown, he made a profession of faith on Easter Sunday, and it's just grown and grown. And there must be some back knowledge he's got, because he's very, very easily, he understands concepts and can explain them in a very simple way. And she's got a real spiritual connection with the Lord, and needs to grow in her understanding, but She's a lecturer at the mining campus. They've got like the university campus in Almaden, which is surprising because it's a small village. And there they get lots of students from Equatorial New Guinea, because it was a colony, a Spanish colony. So it's cheaper for them to send their students to Spain to learn about mining and engineering, and then for them to go back home, etc. So one of them, she said, so Maria said to this student, she said, "Oh, God bless you." And he said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes." And Wilfred, he said to Maria, "Oh, which church do you go to?" And then Wilfred started coming with us. He then spoke to his friend Pedro, who's a Catholic. He's got bishops in his family back in Equatorial New Guinea. They became a Christian. So he made a profession of faith about a year ago, but then wanted to reaffirm it in the church, so connected on Zoom. He told everybody how he'd become a Christian. So this photo is from a few months ago, because there's a Bible study started now with Matteo, he's another Christian, and all these are young people involved in the Bible study. And we've got a relay worker here, and a teacher who I met when I was doing Mission Possible, but he's doing his year internship in Almaden. He's a Christian from another village quite a way away. So God's just put all these people together at this time. And this was a day we spent having games, and they shared scripture, and the mayoress from Almaden came, and it was her first contact with us. And we thought, oh, she'll stay just to say hello, the formal greetings, and then she'll wander off. She stayed the whole time and stayed for the food. And so it's good to see they're opening avenues with the public administration, because unlike in England, the mayors and mayoresses have a lot of power. So any permits you want, this is the person who'll say yes or no. And so it's always good to get them on side. So pray for Alma then. So God seemed to have closed a door in Villanueva for now, but he's opened a door in Alma then, which is another autonomous region we'd prayed for when we went to the prayer meeting, our prayer mountain, which looks over Extremadura and Castilla-La Mancha. But so that's really exciting, and it's just been so easy. It's as if you know when the Holy Spirit moves, he often makes things very easy. And yeah, so we'll be planning more things to do in Alma then. And one of my things when I met these girls was to start a Bible study with the girls. Now Maria really wants to do it, she's just retired. So when I go back, what I'd like to do is to get more involved with the girls in that group. So just pray for that. So the girls in Alma then. This is the pastor's fraternal. It's basically church leaders and pastors. So I'm there. That's me. Yeah. But just praise God for the unity there is in Cordoba. It's not normal in Spain for there to be unity among denominations. So and events that we prepare together. We want to put on a musical for Christmas 2023. And so we've just started castings, etc. But we've got very good relationships with the public administration in Cordoba now as well. So we'll be able to get the big theatre in Cordoba, and it's somewhere you can invite people to. But yeah, just pray for the young pastors that are coming through, that they too will see how needy and necessary it is to have unity. And you know, I think God really blesses when there is unity, doesn't he? So praise God for that. And of course, not just in the pandemic, but in the crisis there was even before, there's always new opportunities, as you've seen yourselves with food banks. So even through lockdown we were able to provide food, and that sort of rocketed during the pandemic. And what we do, provide basic food products, which we get money from the council to spend only in local supermarkets, not the big chains, just the local supermarkets. And then we pay a few bills. And then in September in Spain, the children have to buy their own books. And in primary school, a lot of the books are cutouts and you stick them on the next page. So you can't hand the books on to the next student. And, you know, you can be spending €70, like £65, and it's a big burden on the families. So pray for that. We now have reduced our list, so we're only looking after 25 families. But we now get a chance to pray for them, because we do it the last Thursday in the month, and they come in dribs and drabs, and, you know, we can talk to them. One lady recently was having a court case because they were taking a husband wanted the children because of a divorce, and we prayed with her, and she kept the children, and her face just changed. And although she said at Easter she went round to all the saints, asking all the saints to help her, we said, no, you need to trust Jesus. He's answered you. So, but just getting the opportunity to say that. We often give out leaflets, but really it's when you get to personally pray for the people. So, yeah, that's the food bank. We call it the Dorcas Project. Teach English. I still do some English teaching. And at the beginning of the year, we had a week of prayer. Our first week of prayer. And I had this phone call from an English teacher where I'd done some teaching, and he said, are you still doing exchange programs with students? And I said, well, I haven't done that for many years, but if you've got a group, we'll see if we can do it again. And so in September, there's a group, just a small group of 5 students coming from Pozo Blanco to, do you know the church in Hollywood? Hollywood Christian Life Centre. So they're doing exchange with the young people and families there. So just pray for that, because I think it will be a good opening, because the pastor, Steve Crosswaite, has got really good contact with the school, and the school teach Spanish. It's not every school that teaches Spanish, but this school does. And so she's really keen for the kids to go into the school. And the teacher in Pozo Blanco, Pedro, who contacted me, he has been looking for an exchange school for years. So just think, well, maybe God's in this as well. So pray for that youth exchange at the beginning of September, for the children's lives, that they'll be impacted by it. Because the first weekend they arrive, the church had already prepared a camping weekend. I think it's called Saturday Night Live or something like that. There's 3 churches and they have a camping weekend together. So, and they're able to take part in that. So, yeah, so pray for that. I also, every Tuesday night during term time, I teach a conversational class for adults. So they've done up to C1 level. And so it's just conversation. And it often turns around to, what's your opinion about? So often you can turn the conversation around to Christian things or spiritual things generally. And I know most of the students in that class, so that's good. Good contacts. And it's funny because Natalie, one of my co-workers, she's French. So she teaches the French lesson, and 3 of them are the same students. So they get a double whammy. Yeah, outreach in the villages. Even in lockdown, the last 2 summers, we've been able to do open air work. And the last time we did it was in Pozo Blanco. And we had the wristbands with colours to display in the gospel. And the people told, if you want a wristband, just go and speak to somebody and they'll explain you the gospel. And people just lining up. And you're able to pray with people and just sewing and sewing and sewing. As I'm sure you all experienced as well with your Bible clubs, etc. You know, so we don't do too much door-to-door now, but I think what the door-to-door has done has changed people's attitudes towards us as the people have got to know us. When I went over in 92, we were the sect, and people didn't give you time. And now, you know, you can pray with people and people ask you questions. So we have seen how God has changed the atmosphere. So we had our plans for the planting of the church. We also have our plans for the drug rehabilitation centre. It's been going for 27 years. And this last month, we've had to close what is the residential part of the rehab centre. Lots of reasons. Workers, we've got no workers. And the two workers that we had, we didn't have funds to keep paying them. Residents, we had one resident and five on a waiting list. But all five of them had a reason for not carrying on with the programme. So God clearly has shut that door. So just before I left, because I'm now on the board of the Good Samaritan, we really felt that God wanted to give us a new vision for this beautiful area that we've got. There's a big house, 24 beds, a big kitchen, beautiful surroundings, and over 1,000 olive trees, an industrial greenhouse, a bigger open air allotment. And so saying, okay, God, this is yours. What do you want us to do with this? The council, Alcaracejos, they suggested that we did looked after children, underage children, without parents. So it's a big problem in Spain. We do get people coming over on the boats, etc. But so looking after minors, which is a whole new ball game for us. So in this summer, what we've done is we've got it closed. God provided a man to look after all the allotments, the olive trees. He's specialised in organic farming. So that's been a real good provision. Because we didn't want to leave the centre unaccompanied, because people are breaking in, they're stealing machinery, there's windows they could break, get in the big centre. So we're very thankful to God that he's provided Juan to do that, and just at the right time. Pray for us as we seek what's God's vision for this place. And in the summer, we've given an invite to any churches that want to go there for a retreat. They can go along, and if anybody wants to go and volunteer, they can help out with the gardening, do some physical manual labour. We can provide the food and the accommodation, and you know, they can help us with that work that's going on there. So yeah, pray for the Good Samaritan, so it may no longer be a drug rehab centre. But at the office, so that's the physical work, face-to-face work with the programme. If we get someone with problems and they come to the office, which is in Poza Blanco, we will still serve them, and we'll send them somewhere else, or we'll give them some other options. So that is still part of the work of the Good Samaritan. So we're still helping drug addicts, but just not providing the residential centre for them to go to under our umbrella. We'll send them to another Christian centre. So keep partnering in prayer as you are doing, and then as you're doing as well, supporting me to help me stay on the field, supporting building projects. There's still things we want to do in the rehab centre. And one of the things we have done to try and to be sustainable is the olive tree adoption. Unfortunately, because of Brexit, we're not able to post you out. Yeah, it is really olive oil, because it's a flammable liquid. So what we used to do is send pallets to ECM, the head office, and then they would post them out to people that adopted an olive tree. But now the only thing we can do is send you the photograph of your tree. And then if you bribe me, next time come back in the car. So yeah, that was disappointing. But what was also encouraging, that people that have adopted trees over the year have continued to pay their annual fee, and have not wanted, so that's okay, don't send us the olive oil, that's fine, we'll continue to support the work. So that money goes towards workers. So obviously, whatever the new vision is, we'll still use the money for that. So as far as my what I've got to share, that is it. New projects we've got are supporting the guy that's come to the rehab centre. So if anybody wants to talk to me about particular projects, they can do later. If anybody's on social media, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. The Pedroches Post is my Facebook page for the ministry. So, so New Visions. Mm-hmm. I think that's the the summary this time. So,
Any questions for Delith? And then we could maybe have a time of prayer.
Presumably, you didn't move to that other area because you were